Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submissions. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious.
For his mercy endures forever.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
whose mercy has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Without having seen him, we love him and we believe in him,
receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, who through your Son overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate our Lord's resurrection may arise from the death of our sin through the renewal of your Holy Spirit, and may hear and obey your living word of truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Alleluia. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes to us from Psalm 66, beginning in verse 8. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our first New Testament lesson comes to us from 1 Peter in chapter 3. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our second New Testament lesson today is found in Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him into the meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I found an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said. We are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, and he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we continue our sermon series in Caught in the Acts, today we are in chapter 17. Paul is in Athens, but I'd like to share with you behind the scenes of how he arrived in Athens. So the gospel comes to Greece is basically why Paul is in Athens, and he begins with in Philippi, then Thessalonica, he goes to Berea, and then to Athens. So Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia, basically Greece, begging for Paul and Silas to come and share the good news of the gospel. Paul and his companions traveled to Philippi, a leading city in that area, and they went outside by the city gate to the river where people went to pray. Lydia, a woman who was a worshiper of God, heard the message of the gospel, and God opened her heart, as it says in the book of Acts, to respond to the gospel. Lydia became a believer in Jesus, and she and her entire household were baptized. And Paul and Silas stayed with Lydia while they ministered in Philippi. And you may know the story of the Philippian jailer, where Paul was sharing the gospel, and there was this woman who had this spirit that lived in her, and she basically said for weeks on end that this Paul was a servant of the Most High God. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you spirit, come out of her." And when the people who use this young woman to prophesy realize that their prophet was gone, they got together many people within the city of Philippi and took them to the magistrates and accused them of sedition of the Roman government. And the leaders in Philippi didn't even listen to them. They basically had them beaten and thrown in jail. And later that evening, about midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody would have beaten me up, I wouldn't be a happy person. But there they are, praising God and singing hymns, and all the other people in the jail are hearing them. As I said, about midnight, an earthquake came, and the prison doors were open, and the jailer took a sword to kill himself because he was in charge to make sure that no prisoner escaped. If they escaped, it was his life for their life. But Paul cried out, "We're all here." And so he had the lights turned on, basically lighting the candles or whatever he was lighting, and they were all there. And the jailer took Paul and Silas into his quarters. He washed out their wounds, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized." And so Paul and Silas shared the word of God with the family, and they were baptized. The next morning, the magistrates said they can release Paul and Silas. And Paul said to the jailer, "We are Roman citizens. You beat us without a trial. Have them come here and walk us out of the jail." And so the magistrates did, because of their fear that they had violated the rights of Paul and Silas as Roman citizens. Well, while Paul is leaving Philippi, he goes to Thessalonica and shares the word of God with the God-fearing Greeks and the Jews. And finally, the Jews have had enough because Paul is converting some of them by arguing from the Old Testament that Jesus is the Lord and in the Sabbath, and they drive him out of the city. And Paul then goes to Berea with Silas. And in Berea, it says they are people of more noble character. And they reason with Paul as they research the Old Testament, as Paul convinces them that Jesus is the Messiah from the Old Testament. Well, when the people of Thessalonica learned that Paul went to Berea, what do? They send a crowd to Berea to drive Paul out. And Paul is driven out from Berea, and there Timothy and Silas stay, and Paul is on his way to Athens. While Paul is in Athens, what he sees is idol worship, and there is an altar to an unknown god. So Paul began to reason with the leading people in Athens. As it says in our text today, 17 verse 21, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. So the Athenians were very versed in philosophy of many, many things that were happening in the world at their time. Well, while Paul is in Athens, he reasons with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks. He reasons with the Epicureans and the Stoics. So when we talk about Epicurean philosophy, it basically means this: the supreme good is happiness. And for Stoic philosophy, people should live in accord with nature. So Paul reasons with these three groups in Athens. So Paul, as I said before, would go to the synagogue and reason from the Old Testament that Jesus is the fulfilling of the Old Testament, that he is the Messiah. There would be passionate discussion of the scriptures and how they are interpreted. Jesus would be the Messiah and the scripture that was prophesied. To the Epicureans, Paul would then use their philosophy and their different reason. Epicurus was born in 341 BC, and his teaching was based upon happiness. In our Declaration of Independence, this is very Epicurean. We hold these truths self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Very Epicurean. But also what is in our world today is that Epicurean lifestyle seems to be it. I am fascinated by all the food programs that you can see on TV. What makes us happy is good food and good wine, at least on these types of programs. On the other hand, this is the Stoic philosophy that taught virtue, and that one should engage in politics as virtually as one can. So being engaged in the act of virtue is being engaged in the acts of politics. So we may see this influence of these two philosophies in our society as we begin to look at what underlies a lot of the issues in our society. So it was with these worldviews that Paul brought the gospel message in his time and his way. Well, Paul is thought of as a babbler, and the babbler basically, from its root word, means seed picker. And seed picker basically is you take a little bit from this philosophy, you take a little bit from that philosophy, and you add them together to come up with something new. And this is what he is being accused of, is taking a lot of different philosophies and coming up with Jesus and the resurrection. Well, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. Well, Paul would have a hard time with the Jews because Jerusalem had said Jesus was not the Messiah. So the synagogues would follow the line, but when Paul would come in and reason from Scripture, and that would be the Old Testament, he would show them from Scripture that Jesus fulfilled the Scripture and that the Messiah would have to die and rise again. So the Gentiles are another group, and that was all reason through logic of science and material world. When Paul spoke to the Gentiles about the resurrection, they called him a babbler, a seed picker, because it made no sense. So it was customary, as I said earlier, in Athens, that people would listen and expound on new ideas. So Paul is in the Areopagus, and now he is talking before all of the people in the Areopagus. And in Acts chapter 17, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. So Paul basically begins with creation, and the God who made the world also created human beings, as he says. From one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And then he says God is still active in creation when he says he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. So God is involved with mankind. So there is only one race, not many. So when we talk about being white or black or Hispanic or Asian, we are talking about one race. We are 98% the same. The only thing that makes us different is our skin color and some of the facial features. Otherwise, 98%, we are all the same. We are one human race. So I think we could illustrate this from dogs. Dogs come in many colors, many varieties, many shapes, many sizes, but we always say they're always a what? A dog. So humans come in many colors, but they are all humans because we are of the human race. And what Paul is trying to introduce to them is the unknown God who made them and who sustains them. So when we begin to look at all of these things, we see there is a God who has a purpose for each and every one of us, and that purpose is to be Easter people. So as Paul introduces the unknown God, as he continues in his message, he says, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. And in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. God is gracious. He has planned where you would live, when you would live, but he doesn't plan how you live. That's a decision that you make. And as a believer in Jesus, we are called to a higher standard, to live like Jesus, to live for Jesus, because we are kingdom people, not just Americans. So the living God is found in his word and the life of his son. The living God is calling each and every one of us to repentance. And perhaps this coronavirus is calling the entire world to repentance. To recognize that we need to leave our ways of life of being Epicurean and Stoic. That we need to be people who are willing to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. To know the unknown God for many people is the God that you and I know this day. His name is Jesus. Jesus who lived, who died, and rose again. And there is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we worship one in three. And God is calling you and me to contrition, to repent, and to praise. He is calling us to live our lives for him and not be Epicurean in nature of eat, drink, and be merry. And that's life. Because life is much more than what you put in your stomach. Life is much more than just enjoying a good day. Life is a gift from our gracious Lord and Savior. So you and I have a higher calling than to just be happy. We should be filled with joy of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So today, we repent. Lord, we have not always been faithful. We have not always been the people that you have called us to be. We have failed you many times, but yet we live by grace that you love us. Lord, please forgive us. Please use us to be your servants, to have an attitude of gratitude for knowing Jesus. And Heavenly Father, as Paul continued on with his message, he concludes, he says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Well, you can imagine how surprised people were when they heard about the resurrection, about the proof positive that Jesus is the Messiah because of his resurrection. The unknown God to some is the God you and I know. And it's our responsibility, like Paul, to share the gospel message. The creator of heaven and earth, the one who sends you and me into the world to share the message of salvation in the midst of unknowing our future. There will be a judgment day. And all of us should care as believers that there are others who do not know God as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to this message, there are three reactions to the gospel, as it says in Acts 17. When they had heard about the resurrection of the dead, firstly, some of them sneered, some of them mocked, some of them made fun of Paul and the message. A second group, we want to hear you again on this subject. So others were willing to hear it again. They weren't convinced, but they heard what Paul had to offer the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's their third group. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. So when we look at this, there will be three ways that people will be receptive to the gospel. Hey, this is stupid. This makes no sense. And we're going to make fun of it because science is the clear arbitrator of what is truth. And religion is something fake for people of small minds. And then there's a group that says, well, I'm willing to listen once again. I'm not convinced, but I'm willing to listen. And there's a third group that says, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. So how will you live out the remaining years of your life? Will you just leave a will behind, or will you leave a legacy as well? I'd like to share with you this story. At the age of 5, he wrote an advanced concerto on the harpsichord. When he was 10, he published several violin sonatas and was playing the best of Handel and Bach from memory. Soon after his 12th birthday, he composed and conducted his first opera. He was awarded an honorary appointment as concert master in the Salzburg Symphony Orchestra. Within a few years, he was hailed as the pride of Salzburg. When he died at the age of 35, he had written 48 symphonies, 47 arias, duets, and quartets with orchestral accomplishment, and had more than a dozen operas. He was credited with over 600 original compositions, and even so, Mozart lived most of his life in poverty, and he died in obscurity. At his funeral, very few people came. His wife, ill in health, was indifferent about his death. A few friends came for the funeral, and as they were going to the burial, a huge thunderstorm struck, and no one went out to the graveside. There is no shrine that marks the resting place of Mozart. But today, what is Mozart remembered for? What is his legacy? Not about the life he lived of 35 years, but the music he gave to the world that enriches our lives. Well, what's your life's focus? What will be your legacy? Will it be a legacy about Epicurean lifestyle of enjoying the things on earth? Will it be about stoicism, about arguing about politics? Or will it be a life that is lived out to honor Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? You see, there are a lot of people in our world today that don't know God. He is unknown to them. But you and I have received the gift of faith. And you are and I here for at this time, this place, for a purpose. Is to share our lives for a bigger purpose. And that is Jesus. We can enjoy the fruits of our labor, but the focal point is praying for people to know Jesus, to live a life that says, I believe in Jesus, and to share the message of Jesus. And it's my prayer in this time of uncertainty that you are a person of hope, a person of conviction, and a person who loves Jesus. In his precious name we pray, amen. Let us now confess our faith in our risen Lord from the words of Holy Scripture, the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day according to the Scriptures, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
Most precious Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for the many blessings that we have. We pray for our country, we pray for our world in the midst of this coronavirus epidemic and pandemic. We pray, Lord, is watch over your people, help us as your people and all people to share the love of Jesus somehow, some way. We pray for those who are ill, watch over them and bless them. We pray for those who are traveling, bless them. We pray for our first responders, and we thank you for people on the front line just doing what they need to do to keep our economy going and serving. But Lord, we also pray is bless families this day, bless children, and just help us, Lord, to see where you're going and how do we follow you. Thank you for the mercy that you have given us. Help us, Lord, each and every day to be a blessing to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to be your children. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for the gift of our family. And we thank you for the friendship that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to be your servants, to share the joy of knowing you, and to help people who do not know you to know you. And just through personal revelation, through being in your word, through hearing the Holy Spirit working in our lives to encourage us, is to reach out to others, to let them know that there is a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace, and a God of hope. We pray today, Lord, is watch over all and bless all, and may we continue to grow in your grace as we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the Easter benediction. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory and praise and might and majesty forever and ever. Amen.